This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money Thursday here, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you in. Hope you're having a nice week. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Fremont Street there, Bar Canada at the D. I'll get to the boys in just a second. It's a busy day today on the show, of course. Busy time of the year, October 26th, as we head into November. Week 8 kicks off tonight. Two teams coming off losses. Tampa Bay at Buffalo tonight. Buffalo is a confounding team, boys. Top 5 in offense, top 5 in defense, yet probably should have lost to the Giants, and here we are against a Buccaneer team kind of coming in banged up. Questions at quarterback, of course, Baker Mayfield. You take a look at the number. Buffalo opened 8.5 over at DraftKings. DraftKings is sitting 9. You've got other shops sitting 9.5, and as a matter of fact, right where the boys are sitting, they're sitting 10. So that's a big discrepancy. Once you get to 10 into doubles, starts to become a different story. So 9 we're showing, but where the boys are sitting, watch your mouth, Dustin, showing 10. Okay. Also, 2 NBA games coming up tonight. What's up? Philly at Milwaukee. James Harden was told, you can stay in Philadelphia. We don't want you. And Phoenix, Amal Shaw told you he likes them in the West yesterday. Today, they're here next to me in Los Angeles. Got college football as well. 11 games on the ice. So that's where we start, boys. Welcome to the show. How we doing, Amal Shaw?
Feeling pretty good. I can't believe last night I watched an entire NBA game, watched the Spurs-Mavericks game, and I'll tell you what, wasn't too disappointed in terms of Victor Wembanyama. I would love to get your guys' thoughts on his debut and what you guys thought, but you know, Patrick, I said take him at 12-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. The one thing that's not going to get categorized and that's going to be a problem for him, this guy alters shots that guys don't take, and I wish there was a category for it because he is a tough guy to shoot over.
Yeah, I was also watching said game, and as the kids say, Amal and Dustin, he started to cook in the fourth because he sat for much of the game with foul trouble. We'll get to Wemby, who's just an athletic freak and just obviously a physical freak. The big guy with the potty mouth. We say hi to Dustin Sweetelson. What's cracking?
I'm confused today.
What's up?
So the shirt I'm wearing, you know, sometimes I button the button here on the collar, you know, to make the collar look a certain way. But I never know if you're supposed to do that or not. Like, do you know what the proper move is when you have those buttons? I feel like they wouldn't put the buttons on the shirt if you weren't supposed to use them. But sometimes it changes the whole look and dynamic of the shirt because then the collar sits like this and I look like a priest the whole show.
Well, with all that's happening across the world, it certainly is a pressing issue. I'm not sure what to do with this specifically for the radio audience, but I'll defer to the fashionista, and that is Amal Shaw.
Let's save everybody time. Let's button it. Let's keep it moving.
Thank you, Kenneth Cole.
Button up, big guy. I have noticed, although you have been going to the gym, we give you credit. You got a trainer. You went last night at 6 p.m. Props to the big guy. One thing I have noticed, you've been wearing black a lot. Slimming? Yes?
Yeah, it's a... You find out how fat you really are when you're in the gym. I'm trying to button the shirt as I do this. You find out how fat you are when you're in the gym. They have the mirrors everywhere. I'd prefer mirrors in my bedroom like that. But unfortunately, the only time I get it's at the gym. And you see angles that you've never experienced before. And you just realize how bad it is. That is why there has been more black mixed in this week.
Well, congratulations. A good start to the show for Dustin Sweetelson, no doubt. Steve Tasker is going to join the former Bills All-Pro. Speaking of the Bills, Josh Applebaum, our buddy, VSiN betting analyst, will join. Brennan White is back. DraftKings U.S. trading team lead. Brennan's been a hit here on the show every week, straight from DraftKings in the trading floor. Bill Bender does a great job covering college football. He's going to join as well. Boys, here's where I want to start, and then we'll move on to the football. Tomorrow, Amal Shaw, and we talked about it extensively yesterday. It's a World Series. The more I think about it, the more I'm kind of getting into it. And that is Arizona, of course, and Texas. So the Diamondbacks and the Rangers underway in Arlington, where you covered sports for a long time. They're right outside of Dallas. We're going to have Gallen on the bump for the Snakes, and the Rangers are going to throw Eovaldi. Of course, Montgomery, that was the question yesterday. However, he did throw a couple of innings on Monday. Texas, Eovaldi last through on Sunday, so they're going normal rest here. DraftKings right now is showing Texas $1.66, and then Arizona with Gallen coming back the other way plus 140. I was torn because I like the upstart D-backs. I like their speed. I like the manufacturing runs. It's a team that won, 86 games, 84 somewhere in there, regular season, kind of a team that is ahead of schedule, almost like the Orioles this year, yet they exceeded expectations, winning 6-7. And that was, the more I thought about it after the program yesterday, boys, I don't know how the Phillies are ever going to get over those two losses. Like, for a franchise that's that proud. This was about the D-backs advancing, because we have to talk about numbers on a sports betting show, but that was a worse loss for the Phillies than it was a great win for the D-backs. We can have some fun with that. And then, Amal, this is where I'll get to. Yesterday we talked, it's kind of taking the baseball world by storm. That is Mad Dog Chris Russo. Even the D-backs players were chanting Mad Dog because he said he was going to retire if the D-backs won game 6-7 at the bank. Well, of course, shtick, he didn't retire, and that's the story. However, he did say yesterday while he was watching game 7, of course, the D-backs in Philly, do you know who texted him during the sixth inning and said, are you getting nervous yet? I'm going to let you both take a chance. Now, again, Mad Dog, radio, TV legend, he said he's going to retire if the D-backs won game 6-7. Game 7 at Philly, this person texted him, are you nervous yet? While he was watching the game.
I wanted to say Dory Lovello, but I don't think he would do that in the middle of the game. It just sounds like
from the dugout. Yeah, that is not a terrible guess, because the two of them are close. I'll give you credit there. That's ingenuity. It wasn't Terry Lovello.
I'm going to go with someone who I know likes to poke a little fun at times and I know has a relationship with the Mad Dog. This is a weird one. Did Michael Lombardi text him?
Could have been Mr. Lombardi, who does Fridays with, of course, Dog during the football season. It was not my former partner, Mr. Lombardi. So we've officially come to, this show is a Rangers house. It was already, because Amal knows people in the area. Amal Shaw knows people. He was going to be pulling for the Rangers. This show has officially become a Rangers house.
I thought I was
into the D-backs, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Because this dude, who we already knew was one of the best guys in all of sports, because this dude won 3 championships with the Giants, because this dude is sitting there waiting with the Rangers in Arlington for the winner of the D-backs in Phillies. This dude is so regular. Bruce Bochy texted Mad Dog, are you nervous yet about the game between the D-backs and Phillies, as he waited for the D-backs or Phillies to come play his Rangers in Arlington in the World Series. This has officially become an overwhelming Rangers house. How about that? That's a great job by Bochy.
It's fantastic. It just goes to show you probably why he's had so much success from a personality and disposition standpoint. Never takes anything too seriously. I mean, you got a guy who's sitting there watching that game going, okay, in about 3 innings or in 9 outs, I'm going to be facing off against one of these teams. He's as chill as can be. He's like, hey, doggy, are you worried about your career?
It is. I was so excited to hear that, because like Amal just said, you'd think of a manager in 2023 huddled around with a bunch of kids from UCLA and laptops talking about advanced analytics. My man is posted up probably 2 whiskeys deep. He's got a World Series game to play on Friday. He's hitting up a radio show during the game. Are you nervous yet? That's an incredible job by Bruce Bochy.
Bruce Bochy, if he was connected to an EKG machine during game 7 of a game he was managing in, they would think the machine was broken, because it would just be like this the whole time.
Yeah, he is
pretty good.
And I was thinking about him too. He's 68 years old, the 3 championships that we've kind of outlined with the Giants. And what makes him obviously an automatic Hall of Famer as a manager, Amal, what's fascinating is those Giants teams were much different than this Rangers team. So it really shows how dynamic he is, because, you know, that was, you know, led by pitching and Buster Posey, but they weren't a lot of stars on the 3 championships, if you really think about it. And this Rangers team is very much the opposite. It is a deep slugging lineup.
Oh, you're absolutely right. When you think about this, this team was third to last in baseball in terms of stolen bases, but they were tied with the Minnesota Twins at the third from the top in terms of home runs hit. You mentioned it, 233 during the regular season. We saw what Adolis Garcia did during the postseason, Corey Seager's capabilities, Marcus Semien. All of these guys in this lineup, you're absolutely right, a different style. You had an absolute dude in Madison Bumgarner. You were going to give him the ball. You had that great battery mate with Buster Posey. But then a lot of you look at the two Brandons on those teams, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, guys that were good and could contribute in various ways, but not elite superstars by any stretch. Yeah. And I think this team has been built kind of up the middle. You look at it, the two catalysts, you know better than anybody what a dynamic duo at second and short could be, Trammell and Whitaker. And you've got that here with Semien and Seager, maybe not defensively, but offensively. Yep. Elite players, and I think Bruce Bochy's disposition, his temperament has helped this team in so many different ways. And to go into game seven, think about it, guys, similar situation, but I thought you summarized it perfectly, Patrick, when you came on. You said Philly has to live with the fact they lost it. I thought Texas went to Houston and took it. No disrespect to the Arizona Diamondbacks, but it just felt like a different scenario the way the Rangers approached and what they did offensively.
Totally agree. And as we go to break, we'll come back a little NBA over at VSiN.com. They've got great stats if you're looking to bet the NBA. But just quickly, do either of you know where Bruce Bochy is from?
Melbourne, Florida.
I know he went to Florida State, so... somewhere in Ocala, Florida?
He went to Brevard Community College.
Oh.
Does Napoleon Bonaparte ring true? Bruce Bochy's a Frenchman. He's hanging out with Jean Goulet in France. And then Amal Shaw is correct. He was raised and graduated from high school in Melbourne, Florida. But you're from where you were born, and Bochy is from France.
What?
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Whose house? Bochy's house. Sharp Money, we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. So we can talk about, you know, we discussed that Bruce Bochy is our guy here. So we're going to go Rangers. Dustin, go ahead and grab the, as the series gets going underway, grab the series price. Obviously, the Rangers favored. We're going to have Brennan White, DraftKings. Be curious to see if he has any liability going into the World Series. Love it. Fall Classic, Game 1, $1.52 were shown with the Rangers. And Eovaldi, Gallen plus 142. A pregame total of 8. Do you have that updated series price for me?
Whereas Arizona's plus 145.
Okay, what was the lay? I'm sorry?
Minus 170.
It's too steep, Amal. Look, I do think the Rangers are going to win the World Series. 170 is a crazy price. You and I had a closer between 130 and $1.40 yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything you just said right there. To me, when you look at this Texas team, very good. You got a good pitching matchup in game one with Eovaldi going up against Zach Gallen. Probably slight favorite, I would say, from a pitching standpoint. Not the number in game two with Montgomery against Merrill Kelly, but I'm with you. I just don't see 170. I don't think Texas is good enough or dominant enough. And on the flip side, the Diamondbacks right now can't be counted out in any situation. What kind of confidence is this team walking in with? They win the first two games at Chavez Ravine. They win games 6 and 7 at the bank against two of the probably the best three teams in the National League outside of the Atlanta Braves. I mean, this team has got to be on cloud nine right now.
Well, let me talk you guys into another market over at DraftKings, which is the series correct score. You predict how many games and who wins. So if you think it's Rangers in 6, you can get plus 390. If you think it's Rangers in 7, you can get 4-1. You think it's Rangers, where's the one I'm missing?
The default is always to go 6,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
That's, the default is you always look 6 first
plus
if you're betting favorite. What is it?
Plus 390. Or them in 5, 5-1.
Don't you guys feel
like... the trifle with the exact series price. That's interesting, though.
Don't you guys feel like, though, Texas, nothing against the Diamondbacks. They played very well. They win those two games, and Patrick summarized it perfectly. It felt like Philly missed an opportunity, and it's going to be a long off season. But Texas was like, no, dude, we're just coming down here. We're taking this thing. I mean, the game seven, they get 3 runs early on. I mean, they just played from in front. They didn't put themselves in a tough position at all.
Well, they scored 20 runs the final two games of the ALCS. Like, That's the difference there. If you're looking speed v power, and you highlighted that it's not a team that ripped bags, that being the Rangers, the D-backs were second in stolen bases. But I don't know, boys, like the lineup for the Rangers just goes deeper. There's more power there.
But I will say this, and I think Jordan Montgomery's the way he's exploded onto the scene in the playoffs makes you feel better about them. But I'd say this for Texas, they had to get through a rival to get to the World Series, a team that they can't stand, that they battled with down the stretch. Like, I think there is an aspect of, like, it took so much energy to take down the defending champs, whereas Arizona, I know that they had to win two games on the road in Philly, and that's a crazy environment, but they're so young and so ahead of schedule, they're still just kind of loose.
Fair enough. We'll find out. Brennan White's going to be joining in just a little bit. It is a busy show on a Thursday. You know how we do here on Sharp Money. We do have the Dog Pound coming up, where we pick a small, a mid, and a big favorite for me. It's an opportunity to keep the streak alive. Undefeated run since we started, taking plus money, small, medium, big dog. It's an unprecedented run. Have you guys been taking note of what I've been doing? And I'll look to keep it going. And as I look at my sheet, my small dog freaking winner, my mid-sized dog layup, and the big dog is my favorite, and that's close to 3-1. So I'll keep the streak going and continue to make people money here. Yeah, that graphic I'm looking at, apparently Amal had a big week last week. It seems like the one in the middle there named Patrick is a little off, because it's showing three hits out of a potential like 15, because I've got a sweep so far, big guy.
Well, Dion said, knock, knock, we coming. I'm very scared because I've gotten very cold very fast in this segment, and you both are coming for me right behind. I am very nervous. In fact, to the point where the rundown you guys got, I changed my large dog at the last minute. You don't know what my large dog is because I backtracked. I needed a safer play.
By the way.
Oh, and my small dog's different too. So yeah, you're in my head. You're in my head.
We hit a 55-yard field goal in that Colorado State game with about less 45 seconds to go. I thought we were going to win that one. I was like, man, that would have been a great one to catapult us past Dustin.
As just a tease, I switched my mid dog. We gave them all shot. Me and them all were on the exact same mid dog. And when I had my meeting with Dustin this morning, I switched it. So I will say, stick around, because I like a mid-sized dog that Amal has. And then I found a better one, because that's what somebody that's undefeated does. He finds better ones.
We thought we were debating changing the name of the segment to Dog Locks, but only one out of three of us could bring that true.
Thank you very much. Tonight, college football outside, of course, Buffalo hosting Tampa Bay. We've got Steve Tasker coming up in less than 20 minutes. Some interesting games. Amal, you mentioned it. Maybe you can expound upon it. Has college football given up on Thursday nights? It did feel like we used to get pretty marquee matchups. I'm just thinking, like, when Petrino was at Louisville, I remember a Florida State Louisville game, that Jimbo v. Petrino. It mattered. Maybe Lamar was still there. That was a Thursday night example. Tonight, we've got Syracuse, Virginia Tech. I know it's a game that you're thinking about betting. We're going to work through that game coming up in just a bit. If you like the Fun Belt, Georgia State, Georgia Southern is going to be a fun one. 62.5 on the total. You got two others, but those are kind of the two big ones. But why don't you go ahead and explain what you meant by, has college football kind of given up here on Thursday night?
Well, one of the greatest college football games I've still seen to this day came in, I think, 1995. It was Virginia and Florida State on a Thursday night in Charlottesville. Warwick Dunn gets stopped at the half-yard line, and it was one of the great games. There have been so many other great games. You referenced the Petrino. We saw a coming-out party from Greg Schiano and Rutgers years ago on a Thursday night. There have just been games that have been competitive, entertaining. And remember, guys, Thursday night, I can tell you right now, in 2015, one of my best bets, Virginia Tech was home against Miami, Lane Stadium. They were laying 3.5. They beat them 42-20 in that game. And I'll tell you right now, you just don't have that same cachet at Lane Stadium anymore. Enter Sandman just doesn't seem to have the same effect when your defense isn't as good. And when you look at the matchup tonight, look, it's pretty decent on paper from a competitive standpoint. You see a spread of 3 with the Hokies. But Patrick, to me, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, they're not the same teams they were when they were in the Big East. And they've really both taken a slide. And I'll tell you what, both coaches, Brent Pry at Virginia Tech, Dino Babers at Syracuse, both of these guys are going to be in some hot water here soon. This is an important game in terms of maintaining their jobs.
I was going to say, if you asked a casual college football fan, who's the head coach at Virginia Tech, literally zero would get it. Nobody, like, we have to, because this is what we do. But Brent Pry, are you kidding? And let me just say this. Brent Pry is the coach at Virginia Tech. A legend. And Mr. Beamer was there forever. Of course, we know this. Do you think Virginia Tech as a program, if Shane Beamer, the head coach at South Carolina, said, I'll come in and fill my father's shoes, do you even think they'd take the kid at this point? The answer is unequivocally no.
I completely agree with you. They better ask him. I mean, are you going to bring Bud Foster back as the defensive coordinator? Because if you're not, we're not winning anything, pal.
Well, here's the Thursday night.
They need Bud Foster at with the Gamecocks, big guy, because they have the worst passing defense in all of the country. Yes, all of the country.
Well, if this one doesn't do it for you, here are your Thursday night college football games for the rest of the season. Next week, we'll have TCU at Texas Tech. Does that do anything for you?
That's going to be entertaining.
Sure.
It's not terrible.
Wake Forest and I think I wrote Duke. Yeah, Wake Forest and Duke.
Yeah.
Be great not if terrible. It was basketball, though. South Alabama and Troy.
The Trojans are playing pretty well.
Yeah. Week 11, you've got Virginia and Louisville.
Nope.
Week 12, you got Boston College and Pitt.
Nope.
No, oh my gosh. That's offensive.
Week 13, you've got the Egg Bowl.
Yep.
So, honestly, I would say Georgia State, Georgia Southern has the potential to be the Thursday night college football game of the year.
So, I think it's a great game, but Patrick's point is extremely well made when he referenced Brent Pry. The average person is not going to look at this matchup and go, we got two teams coming in with, 11-3 combined record, playing great football, two offensive teams. I just don't think the average person gets excited about a game like
that. I'm the only person in America who cares about Georgia State, Georgia Southern, because they're two teams I've been betting on all season long. I think this has the potential to be a fun, high-scoring game tonight.
You know, for some reason, it has to be a connection to Valdosta State. Go ahead. 6 degrees.
Well, no, it's just I was the first ever in the first season of Georgia State football. I was their halftime host. And then Georgia Southern is just they're a legendary program when there used to be the 1AA under Irk Russell, who I went to college with his grandson at Valdosta State. He was the starting center and captain of the football team.
I knew it. I didn't even have to ask. I just knew some sort of donk connection back to Valdosta. Like, I mean, seriously, it's like you pretend like it's the Paris of the South. Nobody cares about Valdosta, Georgia. Okay?
It is the best football town in America, and it's not even close.
One stoplight.
It's the best football town in America.
Okay. If you say so.
Also, vote for Scott James for mayor.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're pulling for him. Wemby made his debut. Amal, you watched it. I did as well. The kid's going to be a freak. Foul trouble yesterday. Also, how about my Pistons down in Miami? We'll discuss.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, four major sports in action right now. There's no better time of the year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can sign up right now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That includes our daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all of our exclusive betting content for Major League Baseball in the postseason, of course, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, NBA, NHL regular season, NFL draft. It's all there. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Here's what I'll do as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. So $120 through May 1st. One of the things we've really stepped our game up. I personally find the NBA, and Amal, we'll get into Wemby's debut. I find the NBA to be an extremely challenging sport to beat. In fact, most of the pros that I know, including Steve Fezzik, have transitioned from side and totals in the NBA to propositions and prop bets. However, we have something for subscribers over at VSiN.com that I found this morning, and I don't know if you two are aware of it, but Mackinnon and DraftKings got together and they're using analytics, the betting splits, and came up with a system which has 14 points. Okay, you can go if you're a subscriber, and every single day they're giving you a report on the NBA betting card. And last night, again, I don't know how the sausage is made, because these analytics and Mackinnon, the stuff goes way over my head, but he's working in tandem with DraftKings. And I kind of look through how they did on the picks. And I just looked at the dogs that they picked last night based on the system and betting splits and analytics and the unders. They had three unders and three dogs and both went 2-1. So 4-2, that would be a profit. Go ahead and check out vsin.com/subscribe if you want us to do the work for you when it comes to the NBA. Now, speaking of the NBA, Wemby's debut, and Amal, I'm going to let you run with this because, again, when I watched, a lot of the time he was sitting, I didn't realize he only played 23 minutes, 15 points for the big Frenchman, 5 boards, 2 assists. He had a couple of steals. I'm sure he had a block or two. Yeah, he had a block. And he started to get going in the fourth where you could tell he wasn't concerned about the fouls as much and started to loosen up. A 126-119 winner for the Mavs. They do cover the 5 on the road there at San Antonio.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is an interesting game. Tight game, but give the Mavericks credit. They pull away late. Luka Doncic was outstanding in midseason form last night. He goes for 33, 13, and 10. But more importantly, Victor Wembanyama. Patrick, he has got a beautiful shot. He ends up, as you alluded to, 6-for-9 from the field, but he had one negated, a 3-point shot because of an offensive foul for moving screen. Really, the foul trouble hindered him. That was the one issue you saw in the first quarter. Picks up 2 quick fouls, sits. First half, he picks up another foul, ends up on the bench quite a bit, as you referenced. But a couple things that I took away from this. Number one, I saw somebody on Dallas go out to contest his shot, and I'm like, for what? You're not even in his sight line. I mean, it's a joke. It's not even interrupting him in terms of what he's doing. As long as he can continue to shoot the ball from the perimeter, he's a good free throw shooter. He's going to be dangerous. Didn't get a lot inside. I think he got 1 bucket, 1 dunk inside, but other than that, most of it was on the exterior. And then the other thing is he's going to have to adjust. Why one issue, Patrick, is the fouls he got last time. One was on a moving screen. Another one was trying to get position. One, he had somebody driving to the basket against him, and I'm like, you don't need to take him out. Just stay in your position. This guy's not going to be able to shoot the basketball over. You're so long. Standing reach of over 8 feet tall. So he's going to be a real challenge. But once he really learns the game, I think this guy's going to be an absolute generational superstar, barring injury. He's so talented in terms of what he can do. He just seems to have a great disposition, and everything I've heard about him from a work ethic standpoint really bodes well for the Spurs and this organization and team, and really for the NBA as a whole, because you've got an international player here.
Yeah, he defies anything we've ever seen, just physically. The physics of looking at him, it almost looks like a simulation, looks like the Matrix, nothing about his measurements, and just like it's actually shocking when you see how long his arms are, but he's into it. And I think that's the point that you bring up. And everybody said that his mental and his makeup, like everything about his competitiveness is where it needs to be. So you worry about a little bit. You worry about the frame. You worry about holding up for 82. They're not going to play more than 82 games in the Spurs. I can assure you of that, because look at the talent around him. It's not necessarily there. I think you just worry about him getting a little bit bigger, but he's so young. And I would agree with you. Unless there's injuries, there's nothing that's going to stop this kid from being a total game changer.
Once he learns how to play in the post, you could see a couple of different times guys pushed him out of there. He's tall and he's rail thin. I think he's 7'4 and 215. But he'll eventually learn. He'll get better and just be more effective. But he's going to be a fun guy to watch. He's going to be tough. He'll also learn how to defend. But I saw Kyrie shoot a 3-point shot yesterday. Makes one. Next possession, he comes down, goes to tee it up. Victor gets out there. He doesn't block the shot. But I got to tell you, Kyrie felt his presence.
Yeah, you're always thinking about him. He's always in the back of your mind. I totally agree.
And he had a block on Kyrie earlier in the game where I think it was about an elbow J, and he comes across the lane, and just you're like, how do you get this shot swatted? I guarantee you in his career, Kyrie's probably had that shot blocked twice or less in his entire career.
Yeah, he is, and you mentioned yesterday at 15-1 Defensive Player of the Year, you can see immediately the impact. Big guy, if you have a thought on Wemby and also your Knicks, two stars needed to make a bucket or two, and they could have beaten the Celtics at home yesterday. It just didn't happen.
Yeah, but it also hurts as a Knicks fan when you watch Kristaps Porzingis fulfill the prophecy that we thought was going to happen with us and look like a dominant player. And as Amal called him, the fourth best player on the Celtics and the fourth best player on any team in the NBA right now. That always hurts when he goes for 38 and 4 blocks last night. For Wembanyama, though, he's minus 120 for Rookie of the Year. And obviously, when you're laying a number, when the season just starts in an awards market like that, does he have true competition for the award? Obviously, like a guy like Derek Lively last night popped out of nowhere, but I don't think anyone expects that night in and night out. There is someone a couple spots down, but I don't know if I would bet it. But it feels like he can be in the mix because I think his team's going to be good, and he's technically a rookie. Chet Holmgren's plus 250. I think Chet Holmgren at plus 250, similar to Wemby in that he'll block a lot of shots, but I also think he's a little more mature, obviously, a little bit older, a little more experienced, and sat out last year with an injury. I think Holmgren at plus 250 is interesting just because I would never lay 120 in an awards market like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, my biggest concern, look, I think Victor's probably going to win this thing.
Sure.
However, I don't want to lay it because my concern is injuries. Can this guy give you 65 games? I think that's kind of the benchmark in terms of winning it, but the best performance, there were two rookies last night that stood out to me, guys. One was in that Mavericks game. Derek Lively, the rookie out of Duke, 12th overall pick, 16 points, 12 rebounds, was outstanding. And then for your Detroit Pistons, Patrick, Azur Thompson. I mean, this kid had five blocks last night. I mean,
yeah, defensively, he's tremendous.
He really is tremendous. And, you know, people don't realize he's only 20 years old. Maybe people are not familiar with the name. Played at Pinecrest down in South Florida from Oakland. And this is a guy, him, he's got a twin brother. And, you know, this is a guy that could be a potential force here. I think the NBA Rookie of the Year, a lot of it is predicated upon a couple of things. Who is your team and what you're going to have? Like, one knock I have on Chet Holmgren is he is playing with a bona fide top five scorer in SGA. And I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to take a lot of clutch and key shots in those fourth quarters. That doesn't mean Holmgren's not going to get opportunities, guys. But I feel like when you've got a star like that, sometimes it may take a little bit of the glimmer off what you're able to accomplish. I think if the Spurs end up winning 25 games this year, Victor Wembanyama is going to have a great opportunity. And I get Dustin's point. You don't want to bet somebody as a minus favorite. Right now, we see C.J. Stroud as minus $2 in the Rookie of the Year market. But it's a two-horse race between him and Puka Nacua. And so I don't think you can necessarily discount him just based on the impact he potentially could have.
Yeah, so some other points that I wrote down, and I'm glad you brought up Oklahoma City. It's going to be a very good basketball team, boys. They went to Chicago last night. It wasn't even close. Chicago was laying 2.5. OKC, young, gifted, getting healthy, obviously. You mentioned Chet, 124-104. That's one. Two, the Pistons, the biggest dog on the board yesterday, catching 10 right there at Circa where you guys sit. Had a chance to win it with the three late, lost it 103-102. Never in danger of losing out ATS. And Cade with 30. If Cade is healthy, again, the team's no good. It's so young. It's the youngest team in basketball. But Cade is the truth, boys. I love watching him play. I love watching him orchestrate. Another one that I wanted to bring up on the road. Did Memphis lose a home game last year? It didn't feel like they did, but they lost to open up the season last night to the New Orleans Pelicans. Why do I bring it up? Memphis was laying a point. And if Zion's going to do what he did last night, Amal, he's a wagon. I mean, Zion in the game last night, 31 minutes, he gave you 23 points, 7 rebounds. He gave you 3 assists. That is, he's a difference maker if he's healthy this year for the Pelicans. 111-104 at the Grizz.
Guys, they're starting five. You guys probably don't agree on this. Maybe you do. They're my favorite starting five in the NBA. Brandon Ingram, Valanciunas, CJ McCollum. Herb Jones is like, I didn't even know I'm allowed to play offense. I'll just guard everybody. I mean, yeah, and then, of course, you mentioned Zion. I love this team. My concern with them is depth, but you're absolutely right. If Zion can stay healthy and he's in shape and consistent, he is an absolute bona fide force who could be an MVP contender.
Their starting five is, it's the most entertaining starting. I mean, and also they've got a general manager that's going to make moves. He will make moves. So yes, I love their starting five. Again, New Orleans off to a hot start as well. Okay, when we return, Steve Tasker talking Thursday Night Football.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings tonight, of course, $5 gets you $200 instantly in bonus bets. You can bet on the Buffalo Bills hosting Tampa Bay tonight. For new customers, use that promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. Of course, every day at DraftKings, a no sweat, same game parlay. DraftKings, The crown is yours. We welcome you back. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, we do have Thursday Night Football to kick off Week 8 tonight in Buffalo. The crowd's going to be awesome. We know this with Bills Mafia. Here comes Tampa Bay to talk about it. And NFL and Bills legend Steve Tasker joins us. The All-Pro WGR Sports Radio 550 host at Steve Tasker 89 on Twitter. And as we say, hi, Mr. Steve Tasker. Thank you so much. And I want to start here. Having lost 2 of 3, that sandwich game against the Giants could have been a loss. What's the mood right now around the Bills and the chatter amongst the fans?
Yeah, the fans are kind of panicking. They don't like when their offense looks bad. And this is certainly an offense that's got a big engine, but they're having trouble getting it turned over. You know, they having trouble revving it up. And it's, I think a little bit of it is, it's hard to say what it is that's doing it. I think that they're pretty healthy, particularly up front. Their offensive line has remained healthy. Dawson Knox is not going to play this week. He's going to go on IR with a wrist injury. But Dalton Kincaid has been a really good find for them. I think what this Dawson Knox injury is going to do is force them to really try out some other targets. Knox was a guy who was on the field a lot. I think tonight they're probably going to go a little bit lighter, go more wide receivers, use Kincaid as a slot guy, spread the offense out, see if they can get a handle on the blitzing Bucs defense, which Todd Bowles likes to do that. I think spreading them out will give Josh Allen a look at what they're doing. But most people are in the mood that this offense is going to be okay, but they've got to get it figured out and start making some first downs and scoring some points.
Steve, when you look at the 2023 iteration of the Buffalo Bills, tell me one thing you like or love about this team. And on the flip side, what's an area you believe that they can improve upon?
I think one of the things I like, they're really good up front offensively. Their offensive line is bigger and more athletic. It pass protects really well. I think that's something that they needed last year. Diggs is still a positive. And on the other side of the ball, when they're healthy, their pass rush is elite. I mean, they can really get after it. They've got a couple of guys that are nicked up. Daquan Jones hurts them a little bit, but Leonard Floyd, AJ Epenesa, Greg Rousseau, and Von Miller start to take more and more snaps in these games. I think their pass rush has really been good. So up front on both sides of the ball, they've been really, really solid.
Steve Tasker joining us, of course, the Bill NFL great here on Sharp Money. Help us understand the quarterback, you know, outside of Buffalo, casually watching Josh Allen. Sometimes he comes across as reckless. Steve, can you help me understand how you kind of categorize Allen at this point in his career?
Yeah, it's interesting. Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen facing off tonight. Baker was the first guy picked in that draft class that Josh Allen was in. And since that draft, 2018, these two guys have more interceptions than anybody. Josh has got 68 and Baker's got 67. The difference between these two, Josh Allen scores a lot of touchdowns. And the turnovers, you can live with them if he's scoring a ton of points. Now, they've struggled to do that in the last three games. They haven't done too much of it. But Josh Allen's still at the top of the league in individual touchdowns. He's going to get it back on track. Tonight, this game is going to go, you know, the way Josh Allen does. Certainly, I think they're going to try and jumpstart this offense some way, somehow. A lot of us believe that they'll probably go spread the Bucs out and let Josh Allen throw it all over the yard. They've been relying on a lot of play action, a lot more under center stuff this year, and it has worked well. They've been really efficient doing it, but with Dawson Knox out of the lineup, only one tight end who's been active, and that's Dalton Kincaid. Quentin Morris is also down as a tight end, so they're down two tight ends. So logic says they're going to spread it out, let Josh throw it, see if they can jump start the offense with a little bit of pace, maybe a little no huddle, who knows, and try and spread the football around.
Steve, what's the perception of Sean McDermott? 47-18 over the last four regular seasons. Team looks like it's got the talent to get and win a Super Bowl. But is there pressure that's potentially mounting just based on the expectations around?
Yeah, certainly when you have high expectations, the disappointment is close behind if you don't live up to them every single game. Certainly the last three games, the Bills have not done that offensively. Defensively, they're still playing a pretty high level, although they are starting to wobble a little bit. Daquan Jones going down, Ed Oliver sitting out last week, and Jordan Phillips all three defensive tackles, Phillips with a back injury. All three of these guys were struggling to stay healthy, and they're not really 100%. Oliver's got a chance to go tonight. Jordan Phillips is back in there tonight. Looks like his back is going to be fine, but Daquan Jones is going to be out for maybe 8 or 10 weeks. They may not get him back until the stretch run. So that has hobbled their defense. They were really good up until the point those guys started going down in the middle of that defense. But I think Sean McDermott, you asked about the perception of him. He has really built this franchise and this team to a point where it's a contender every single week, every single year. They don't do as well as you'd like when they get into close games. But they do have very few close games. They run out and leave people. They score a lot of points, and their defense is good and well coached enough that it's hard to score on. So they're used to playing as front runners, and they're really good at it. When they get into tight games, and it falls to their defense has faltered. And from a defensive head coach standpoint, that's not something you like to see. And it's something I think they have to work on.
The Bills are laying 9.5 tonight to kick off week 8. Here comes Tampa. A little banged up. Steve Tasker joining us, of course, the all-pro Buffalo Bills there. WGR Sports Radio 550 host at Steve Tasker 89. So Stephon Diggs, we know that. You just highlighted the injuries at tight end. Would you be surprised if this team made a move and added another pass catcher?
A little bit, yeah. I don't think pass catcher is their problem. I think defensively is where they would probably add. The defense has lost four guys who are really playing at an all-pro level. Tre'Davious White was just coming back into form from an off year last year, recovering from an ACL. Matt Milano, who was all first-team all-pro last year at inside linebacker. Daquan Jones, who was playing extremely well, a defensive tackle for them. All three of those guys are out of the lineup. And I think their defense really needs to be bolstered. I think they need a really strong corner from the market. If they could get one, I think that's where they would go rather than getting a pass catcher. Diggs has been the focal point of defenses for all 4 years he's been here, this being the third one or the fourth one. He's been the focal point of defenses all the way through, and he has remained productive. I think they like the fact that they can find him when they need him. And I think Dalton Kincaid, along with guys like Trent Sherfield and Khalil Shakir, are going to start seeing more targets if defenses do find a way to take Diggs away. But up to this point, in the last 4 years, and up to this point in his fourth year, nobody has been able to stifle Steph Diggs, and he continues to get a lot of targets.
Steve, when you look at this team, they got a game tonight that they should be able to win against Tampa. The next week, they've got a real benchmark game in the AFC at Cincinnati. How does the perception around this organization feel right now in terms of the Bengals come into their house last year and beat them? Is this such an important game, or is just that it's just another game on the schedule you got to be able to navigate?
Yeah, I think it's another game on the schedule for these guys. Certainly last year and the Monday night game when Damar Hamlin went down, that really sucked the life out of this team. It was a shell. This place seemed like it was vacant of emotion for a month at the end of last season because of the Damar Hamlin injury. And when they lined up again and saw the Cincinnati Bengals across from them in that playoff game, they were emotionally used up from a month of just absolute, you know, and they just couldn't get anything done. They couldn't even practice for about a week and a half last year after the Damar Hamlin thing. So their season was really stuck in you could stick a fork in it on that Monday night game in week 17 of the regular season. But coming back in here this year, going back down to Cincinnati, it'll be interesting to see how they react. It's a little bit different iteration than the defense last year for the Buffalo Bills. It's a better pass rushing team. And I think depending on what happens, if anything, at the trade deadline, they're going to be a really solid group in the safety position where last year they were not going against the top pass catchers in Cincinnati. I think this will be a better football team going into Cincinnati. Still, it's going to be a tough game going on the road there for this club, and they've got a lot to prove. They have struggled over the last 3 weeks offensively, and defensively they're banged up. So you really don't want to have you got to be firing on all cylinders going into Cincinnati. The mini bye week will probably help them freshen up a little bit, get a little healthier. But I don't think there's any question. I think it is a benchmark game for them going into Cincinnati. Even though it's just another game, it is a conference game. They're not playing extremely well in the AFC. They've dropped a couple of games already, and I think they're really looking to get back on track. This game tonight against Tampa Bay. will tell you a lot about how they're going to play against Cincinnati.
Should be a get-right spot. Steve Tasker, the legend there up in Buffalo, the NFL, WGR Sports Radio 550, at Steve Tasker 89. Thanks, Steve. Enjoy the game.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Special teams from Mr. Tasker. He was great. You know who's special? Josh Applebaum. He's next.